everybody, and welcome to episode 337 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Huznes, and today I have a lot of games to talk about. I have a lot of things to talk about. I'm still going very strong with my anime catch-up. I'm just about finished. I have caught up with Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, which I still really enjoy, which is kind of surprising because I don't really care about the mechs and all that. I'm not that big into action in anime. Not that I'm against it, it's just that I don't see action and often think, oh man, it's so cool. I don't go into any series and just get off on the action. I need to be invested in the characters and the story and all that, so action alone will never really grab me. But I do like it in certain series and whatnot, and I'm not against it at all. And the action in Iron-Blooded Orphans is quite good, and it looks good. But what keeps me coming back is the story and the characters. I really like them all. And, Mika? I really like Mika, even though he's kind of a blank slate. He doesn't have that much of a personality, which might be why I like him, because he is somewhat similar to me. I don't want to say I don't have a personality, but I am a more reserved, quiet person who is hard to read, and I keep a lot of things internal. And I'm also sort of like Mika in that I just say what I think and feel, not to the extent that Trump does, or at least I guess I would say I, like Trump, say what's on my mind, but unlike Trump, I'm not a despicable thing. I don't even want to call him a human being, but I don't want to get political. I'm really enjoying it. I'm surprised that I enjoyed the first season as much as I did, and surprised that I'm enjoying this season, which I don't know why after I liked the first season. Then I just caught up today with the second season of Rakugo, full title, Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju, : Sugoroku Futatabi Hen. But I, three episodes in, I'm just loving the hell out of it. I have no doubts that it will be my favorite series of this season. And unless something comes out and surprises the hell out of me, like Yuri on Ice did last season, I already will say that Rakugo will be a strong contender for best anime of 2017. But I would have to separate it with new series, because I think that's important. And then I started up Mob Psycho 100, watching the dub. I think the dub is actually pretty good. And I'm hoping that is something to be expected from a lot of Funimation's dubs. I don't even know what I was thinking right there. But yeah, I'm just hoping they're cast and their bank of actors, the number of actors they have to go to, it has increased, because that was the biggest downfall with Funimation's dubs, is just that you'd be listening to them and then you just hear the same actor and the same voice in so many different series. I did watch the first episode of the second season of Konosuba, and that's more Konosuba. I still think it's pretty good, but I've been surprised by the comedies this season. Gabriel Dropout has grown on me more and more, and the last episode, the third episode that I watched, I really, really enjoyed. I was kind of lukewarm on it with the first episode, then the second episode, it started to hook me in, and then the third episode, I really, really liked. And then we, Demi-Chanwa Karitai, interviews with Monster Girls. That series is more on the sweet side, but it can be funny too. I really like that. Kobayashi-san Shinome Dragon. That is also very funny, and I still want to just point out and appreciate the fact that it really emphasizes the monster side of the monster girl and not the, hey, look at her boobs and everything and the etchiness of it all. So other than that, anime-wise, and I wasn't really planning on talking about anime that much because I have quite a few games to talk about, I am going back and forth as to whether or not to watch the second... I don't even know if I want to call it the second season of Blue Exorcist because I will definitely have to go back and watch the few episodes of Blue Exorcist just to rejog my memory. But after reading up on it a bit, I found out that it... Because I only watched the anime, I didn't read the manga or anything, and found out that the anime and manga go their separate ways around episode 16 or 17 of the original series. And this new series basically starts at that point. So all that anime-only material is just garbage. It's no longer canon or anything. It's just out the window. And that seems like it'll just be confusing for me. So I'm going to see what I want to do. And I might just wait because I'm assuming they'll dub Blue Exorcist at one point or another. And I did watch the first season dubbed. So, and I didn't remember hating it. I think there might have been an annoying character or maybe two, but for the most part, I thought it was a decent dub. But yeah, I don't know what to do with that as of right now. Anyway, the main thing I wanted to talk about on today's show was video games. So I got some for review, and review them is what I'm going to do. First, and not foremost, Toby the Secret Mine. It is a platformer. I got a code for the Xbox One. It's also, I believe, available for Wii U, one of those rare games that has still come out on the Wii U. So if you have a Wii U and you want something new to play, you don't have many options, so just pick up Toby the Secret Mine. But what Toby Secret the Mine is a platformer that really, really wants to be Limbo. It's got color in it and all that, but you play this silhouetted, like, little boy, and of course, if you die at times, it'll be somewhat violent, but not to the same nature as Limbo. And it's just a really short, like, I don't know, 2-3 hour experience that isn't all that special. There's nothing about it that's particularly memorable. It just feels like a game that's really trying to be Limbo and doesn't quite hit every mark. And at the same time, Limbo was cool and stylish at the time, but it wasn't that special either. So it's trying to be a game that was cool and hip at the time, but in actuality was just okay, which isn't the greatest thing to strive for. It's not terrible or anything. It is buggy. There were times where I fell through the it wasn't the ground, it was like I was in a water area, and there's another part where I had to jump across this area on these like not windmills, but what is the thing where it's pushing water? watermill, is that the term? I don't know, but I had to like jump on those on various platforms, and I didn't realize it was a bug at first, and I just thought it was being weird. The ground was slippery and I couldn't stay on it, and it was making the part very, very hard, and I decided to quit out and go back in, and it was fine, and then I fell back in the ground and it screwed up again. So it is a bit buggy. Hopefully that stuff will be patched soon. It's not game-breaking because you can quit out and it'll fix itself, and then if it breaks again, you just quit out again. But the real problem with Toby is that the story is really not there or anything. I mean, it's very, very, very minimal. And it's short, and it's just not that special. It's got a very few number of puzzles, and they're just kind of random. It's like, here's a puzzle you've never encountered before. We're not really going to explain it, even though it's fairly, all of them are fairly self-explanatory. But we're just going to give it to you. You figure it out. We're never going to give you another puzzle like that ever again. And that just felt weird. And then the platforming bits that are an attempt to be somewhat puzzly aren't that hard or difficult, which may be a good thing for some. But it just, in the end, felt like an experience I'll forget the day after. Of course, I still remember bits of it, more so the parts I didn't like about it, but it's a very forgettable platformer that, you know, if you're dying for a new platformer, a 2D platformer, you know, I don't know of any other out there at this immediate moment, but I'd wait on it. I think it's $10, which isn't a terrible price if you like platformers, but it's nothing special. So there's that. And then I got a code for Metrico Plus on Xbox One. This game was a puzzle game that came out for, I believe, PS4, Vita, and PC last August, and has finally come out on Xbox One. I think it's around $10 or $13.99, somewhere in that ballpark. But I like it. It's a puzzle game where I think it consists of 6 worlds, and I think that's the number. And in each world, you get a new kind of ability, whether it's the ability to shoot out a beam, or then later on you can hold down the button and shoot this little bullet that will then ricochet off things, so you can reach objects you wouldn't be able to otherwise. The thing I like about it is that the music's pretty good. Visually, it's nice. It's very minimal, minimalistic. And the puzzles at times will make you think a bit, but it's never too challenging, never too frustrating, and it has a nice flow to it, so that I never got stuck on a puzzle for too long, and I just felt good. I constantly wanted to keep moving forward, and that's something I appreciate. It's not a particularly long game, and there won't be much reason to go back and play through it again unless you are someone who really likes to get achievements and trophies, because that is what the majority of the achievements and trophies are all about: completing world one, you know, without dying, or completing world two without doing this, etc. So each area has a specific kind of goal that I don't think they list anywhere. You just have to look it up online if you want to know what it is. But that's what the achievements are very much about. And they're also collectibles in the game. And I got one, and then I got an achievement for it. And I was like, oh, I got a collectible? And I was like, and then after the achievement popped, I was like, wait, what did I do? What was the collectible? I don't even remember getting this collectible. I got an achievement for it, though. I think I know what I did, but I didn't feel like it was a collectible or anything. But that's a solid little puzzle game. I enjoyed it. You know, it's a little game, but it's a fun little game. And then I decided to finally play Okami. I played Okami HD on my PS3, and that was a nightmare because it kept signing me in and out of PSN, and it made it hard to download the game. And PSN on my PS3 just runs like garbage in general, and just my PS3, it runs fine. It's just the PSN, the online service, which runs like shit on my PS3. And I don't know if that's just a universal thing for PS3 and PSN at this point, but that was annoying. But I played about 3 hours of Okami, and I didn't really like any of it. One, it is extremely chatty. It is so just like, oh, it would not shut up. And what was really frustrating is that a lot of times you're reading these bits of dialogue, and there's no voice acting as far as I could tell. Maybe there was a little bit of narration in the beginning, but it's not voice acted. And it was forcing me through a lot of it to read at the pace at which the words were being written. I couldn't skip and just have everything revealed right away so I could read it at my pace and get through it a bit quicker, except for bits of dialogue where I guess it wasn't essential to them. but I just really wasn't digging it. I do like the art style, but the story I couldn't care less about. And the combat was very... there wasn't much to it. I'm assuming it probably gets a lot deeper as you progress more into it. And I'm assuming that where I was at that point was where it kind of opened up and shut its mouth a bit and started to maybe get good, but I really wasn't feeling it after 3 hours. This little bug creature that's with me was annoying the hell out of me. And I just kept thinking while I was playing it, wow, this would probably be really good on the Wii U with the touchpad controller because of the actions you use when you go into calligraphy mode or whatever the hell it's called and write on the screen. Or even if it was ported to PS4 and you could then actually use the little touchpad on the DualShock 4 for something, since it's not used for anything. Or if it was on Vita, I don't think they ever ported it to Vita. That would be a thing too. But the whole calligraphy aspect of it makes me wish it was on some system with a touchscreen, because it just doesn't feel that great to move that cursor around with the analog nub. But that's pretty much all I've played. I just started going back to Gears of War 4, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is pretty, and I'm having more fun with it now, even though it's just like, this is just more Gears of War. They really didn't do anything new with it, because I'm now attacking these things that pop out of little bubble things, little hive things that are like monkeys, and then, of course, there are the upgraded version of them that basically come out of emergent holes, but they're not emergent holes. I can't speak today, and my mouth is getting very dry. But that's pretty much it gaming-wise right now. And I guess the Oscars came out today, nominations. So I'll talk about a few movies that I saw recently really quickly. Saw Moonlight, really liked the first two acts, thought the third act was just kind of, that's where you decided to go with the third act. It was good, but not great like the first two acts. It started out really strong. I really, really liked the first act. I thought the second act was really good too. And then the third act was just kind of okay. That's what you are. Manchester by the Sea. I thought Casey Affleck was really, really, really good in it. And I appreciate a movie like that and a performance like that that is more reserved and more about subtlety and not about having these grand dramatic moments with, you know, excessive crying and screaming and all that stuff. And I'm glad that it's being recognized from awards and the such and the kind, the whatnot. I think he deserves, based on the movies I've seen, I think he deserves the awards he's been getting. I don't think the movie deserves to be recognized as the best, and I don't think it's going to win any award like that. But just because it feels structurally and pacing-wise, it feels more like it's a long episode of a TV show or something, and not so much a movie where you have a beginning, middle, and an end structurally. I saw La La Land. Liked it. Didn't love it. I don't think it's some amazing thing. It's got really good music in it. I thought Emma Stone was really good in it. Ryan Gosling got better in it. But at the same time, I was watching him thinking, why couldn't he have been black? Why couldn't they got a black actor for that role? In part just because of, you know, the whole jazz aspect of it all, and there's nothing wrong with interracial couples. And also just in the very, very beginning, and I was concerned about this, but it became much less of an issue as the movie progressed. Ryan Gosling came across as a hipster douchebag who's like all about doing things because it'll be cooler, the conceiving that they'd be cool. Or like a perfect example of how much I hated him, or why I hated him, was there was a very beginning part where I think his sister comes to his apartment and she's like, you need to get a throw rug for this area or whatever. And he's like, no, I don't. Throw rugs are so blasé or whatever he said. And then she said, you know, what if the throw rug was like Miles Davis's throw rug or something, and he pissed on it? Then when, and he's like, he brushes it off, and then he, you know, a few seconds later, like, well, did he piss on it? Did you actually have a throw? Like, I hate those kind of people. Those are the same kind of people that shit on Kindles and are like, I only read real books because I love the smell of the paper. It's like, you can be, I don't know, whatever. But he became less of an annoyance fairly quickly, which was very happy for me. Made me very happy. And then I watched Arrival, which I really liked. I think that's my favorite movie of last year. I kind of figured it out maybe halfway through. I'm not going to spoil it. I really liked the story, though. I thought it was really well acted. Not a huge fan of Jeremy Renner, but I really liked him in it, too. I thought everyone was great in it. I thought the story was great. I thought it was some of the best science fiction I've ever seen. And I said on Twitter that I wasn't a huge fan of science fiction. And the more I stepped back and thought about it, I'm like, actually, I think what I'm really not a huge fan of is the more action-packed science fiction. So I don't really care that much about Star Wars. And the new Star Trek is okay, but like, I liked The Next Generation. And when I was thinking about it and like questioning my own statement of not liking science fiction, I was like, wait, I love Sliders. I love Quantum Leap. I love a lot of things that are science fiction. I just sort of like the more, I don't know, techie aspect of it, or the scientific aspect of it, and just not so much the action that is often accompanying it. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, that will do it for today's episode. I came in here with the plan, and that plan was immediately just, it derailed so quickly. So hopefully this hodgepodge of a random mess of an episode was an enjoyable listen. Because if it wasn't, well, I don't know what to do then. And you've made it this far, and I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to say bye-bye. But before I say bye-bye for real, I'm going to do all the plugs and all that nonsense. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Huchinez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomilis, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. I am on PSN, the Kush 3. That is the KUSH number 3. This site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we host, and the art I do, which if you like, you can go over to pxsart.com and pick up a print or two of said artwork. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. And that will do it for today's terrible episode. Bye-bye.